excited to be here. Is my microphone on? This is good, all right. I love this church, love your pastor, love his family, love the spirit. You've been so kind, so many have greeted me so very kindly already today. And thank you for praying. When I was here last time, on September 13th, I'd had my last radiation chemotherapy treatment. On September, the doctor said, take it easy for a couple weeks, be your worst 2 weeks. So we left the hospital and drove to Ohio, where I preached on Thursday the 15th. Then I got on an airplane, came here, and preached here on Sunday through Wednesday, and I was really weak. I'd walk out after the preaching and get in the car, go back to bed. Didn't eat anything. I was on a liquid diet. Well, since then, the cancer came back, and they took my voice box out, but they gave me a prosthesis. So I have a kazoo in my throat. If my mother were alive, she would say, how dare you speak to me in that tone of voice. Now, y'all, do you stand when you read the scripture here? Okay, don't stand yet. It's going to be a little while. I'll get there, but you'll be tired time it's over. Our text will be in the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Our story begins with a good family in a great place. Elimelech, which means my God is king, married to Naomi, that means pleasant, and they live in Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. But a famine comes. And instead of doing what God had commanded them in Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you have a famine, if you have trouble, seek my face. Trouble is not a time to run from God. It is a time to run to God. But instead of doing that, they went to Moab. Moab that had enslaved Israel for 18 years. Moab, whose pagan god, Chemosh, required the sacrifice of infants to satisfy his wrath. Watch out for any society that is unkind and abusive to their children. Something wrong with that. But they're not going to stay there long. Elimelech, Naomi, their sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they're just going to sojourn. That's what I'm doing this week. God willing, I'll preach through Thursday night, and then I'm going back. Actually, I don't get to go home right away. My wife's going to meet me in Detroit. We're going to meet our daughters, son-in-law, and grandkids and go to a Detroit Tigers baseball game. So I'll leave here about, the flight leaves at 6-something on Friday morning, and I'll probably get home by midnight. But I'm not going to live in Madison. I'm just going to sojourn. But they stayed quite a while. Mahlon and Chilion married Moabite girls, Ruth and Orpah. They stayed there long enough that Elimelech died. Mahlon died. Chilion died. Naomi said, I'm going back home. And amazingly, her daughters-in-law, widows like she, said, we're going with you. I don't know why. I don't see much in Naomi to inspire that kind of fellowship, that kind of confidence. In fact, Naomi discourages them. She said in Ruth 1:11, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, watch this. For it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone against me. Isn't that interesting? She disobeys God, goes to a pagan place she should never have been, and blames God for what happened. Why would God let this happen? I'll tell you what happens. The penalty for the sin is often built into the sin. You drink, you become a drunkard. Take drugs, you become an addict. Become improperly promiscuous, you get a terrible disease. By the way, just in case you're not from this church, we're not like Naomi. We never send sinners away. You come into this church with a nice $1,000 suit and a King James Bible, driving your Lincoln Continental or your Lincoln Navigator. You say, I'm moving to the area, I'm looking for a church. We'll say, welcome. We're glad you're here. We hope you join ours. Amen. You come to this church with tattoos all over your face, more piercings than anybody's ever seen, smelling of weed, and you say, hey, bro, I just got saved. Dude, I'm looking for a church. And we say, you're welcome.
Amen.
We hope you'll join ours. We never turn sinners away. But Naomi tried to. Lord believes. But Ruth clave to her. And again, Naomi tried to discourage her. Ruth 1:15. Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. That's astounding. You do like your sister-in-law and go back to your pagan baby sacrificing God. Who in the world would say that? But Ruth's persistent. She speaks words of such beauty that though they were the words of a daughter-in-law to her mother-in-law, they are often included in our wedding ceremonies. Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also. If aught but death part me and thee. That's incredible. Somehow the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the only God, the true God, the living God, has been revealed through the flawed testimony of Naomi to such an extent that in the life of this broken, bitter woman, Ruth sees something that is better than her family, better than her country, better than her faith, better than her gods. And she says, I'm going with you. They go back home. Ruth has never been there. Apparently, their situation's less than stable. In Bible times, the owners of a field were required to leave some grain in the corners. Poor people could come and glean. And Ruth says to Naomi, hey, let me go glean. And in the providential care of our kind and loving God, she gleans in a field that's owned by a man named Boaz. Boaz is rich. Boaz is a bit older. Boaz is single. Boaz is their relative. And Boaz is the son of a woman who all through her life and all through history was known as Rahab the harlot. Maybe that's why he's still single later in life. But he notices Ruth. And he says what I said when I saw my wife walking across campus about 53 or 4 years ago. I said, "Who's that?" As soon as I found out her name, I asked her out. I had to do battle with a bunch of other guys who were trying to date her too, but I outlasted all of them. And on the day you recognize your seniors, my wife and I will have been married 51 years. I got married when I was 20 and she was poor. Boaz learns about Ruth, he checks her out. Learns that she's made his God her God. Learns of her devotion to Naomi. Learns that she'd asked for permission to glean. Forsaken her pagan past, following the true God. And he calls for Ruth. He says, "Now look, don't you glean in any other field than mine." Not only that, this isn't open to everybody, but I've got some water set out for my servants. You go ahead and drink whatever you want. And he said, "When they stop at lunchtime and I feed them, you go ahead and eat with them." And Ruth says, "Why?" That brings us to our text. Stand with me if you would, please. "Why should you take knowledge of me? I'm a stranger." Ruth 2:11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. How thou hast left thy father, thy mother, the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knewest not hitherto." Heretofore. "Lord, recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel." Say the next phrase with me: "Under whose wings thou art come to trust." Lord, I do love this church and this preacher. I'd like to be a blessing. But I can no more help them than you help me. So would you guide me by your Spirit and empower me? Use me, Lord. May I say everything but only the things that you wish to have said. Bind the devil and those fallen angels that serve him. May they fail in their effort to snatch the seed of your word away from the soil of our hearts. Help us to determine to be good ground and gladly receive what you have. Bless the preaching, bless the invitation. We do promise to give you the praise for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The story of Ruth is a fabulous story. It's a story of romance, a story of reward, a story of redemption. But I'm interested in those words that Boaz speaks to and about Ruth. "Under whose wings thou art come to trust." There is a lesson in our story about care. Under whose wings? God covers us with his wings. That's a frequent Bible analogy. See, a part of the wings of a bird are stiff and smooth. Those feathers lock together kind of like a zipper. And when the baby chick is under the wings of the mother, they are absolutely and completely covered and protected. And we read that in the scripture. "I under the shadow of thy wings," Psalm 17:8. Psalm 36:7, "The children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." Psalm 57, "In the shadow of thy wings shall I make their refuge." Psalm 91:4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust." Hey, did you know God takes good care of his children? Amen. Why? He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. If we deny him, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And we, having trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, are his. So, when you fear that the storms of life may destroy you, why don't you trust under his wings? When the howling winds of adversity threaten to blow you away, trust under his wings. When the temperature plummets and the blizzard blinds you, say it with me, trust under his wings. When the tornadoes of trials get you in their funnel cloud and obliterate the very foundation of your life, say it, trust under his wings. It's safe under his wings. There is security under his wings. There is a sanctuary under his wings. And he will sustain you if you trust under his wings. You can always trust in God. But as we look at God's care, not only does he cover us, there's a part of the feathers of a bird that are not stiff and not smooth and not hard. They're very soft and very fluffy. And not only is being under the wings of the mother a safe place, not only is it a safe place, it is a soft place. You know what the Bible says? Blessed be God, even the Father of mercies, and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations. What a good, gracious, loving God we have. He not only gives us a safe place, but a soft place. He not only gives us a protected place, but a pleasant place. Hey, I want to tell you something. We used to have people travel the country, and they would tell all they gave up to serve God. Remember that? I could have been a football player. I gave it up to serve God. I could have been a country singer. I gave it up to serve God. I could have been a wealthy businessman. I gave that up to serve God. I knew one guy said he could have been all three. A country singing, football playing businessman. And we were supposed to go, wow, God really got lucky when you signed up, didn't he? No, I want to tell you something. I didn't give up anything to serve God. God has been better to me than the world ever would have been, than the devil ever could have been. Our God's a good God. Don't you listen to these people say, oh, to serve God, it's all right, it's difficult. Oh, shut up. Well, they say straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Read your Bible. That's talking about how you get to heaven. There's one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. Amen. But Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It is not hard to serve God. It's hard to serve the devil. God didn't leave you in a gutter someplace lying drunk in a pile of your own vomit. God doesn't leave you in a hospital with some terrible disease because of promiscuous behavior. God doesn't leave your mind fried with drugs. No, no, no. God is good to his servant.
Amen.
I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe pure and white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven. That's why I'm happy tonight.
Amen.
It's a good deal to serve Jesus Christ. He's a good God. But our story not only teaches about care, but it teaches us about confidence. I was arrested by that phrase a little while ago. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Trust is developed. Ruth didn't always believe in God, but she came to trust him. She was from a pagan place, but she came to trust in God. She was a young widow, but she came to trust in God. Her mother-in-law was not a very good example, but she came to trust in God. saw enough in the life of Naomi and maybe in Elimelech, maybe in her husband, to convince her that the God of the Bible is the true God, the living God, the only God. And she came to trust in him. Every test, every trial, every trouble is designed by God to teach us to trust in him. Now, you can think what you want, but I think God didn't give me cancer. Adam and Eve gave me cancer. Cancer is never part of God's plan. Part of the willful misbehavior of a sinful and fallen man. But I'll tell you what he did do. He said, I'll supply every need. I'll sustain you through every trial. I'll be with you through every difficulty. And I'll give you a good, safe, secure, soft place to rest under my wings. Trust is developed. Don't be upset that you have trouble. Somebody said, you ever wondered why me? You're trying to serve God. You know, the trouble never happened. 40% of everybody in this country is going to get cancer at some point. Why should I be any different? No, actually, I thought my life would be writing instead of speaking. And I know I don't sound great. I've not been asked to sing any solos recently. I could. Amazing Grace. My next CD will be out in July. But God kindly gave me an artificial voice, and his people have kindly allowed me to continue to preach. Nobody's canceled me yet. I thought some would. I wouldn't have been upset. And you know my faith is strengthened because I've seen God wonderfully, marvelously, amazingly supply to all my trials. I never sent out a letter asking for support. Never told anybody, even pray, that God would take care of me the time I was off the road, not able to preach. But God told some people to help me. I have a friend who's very wealthy. And one time he owned a Bentley, lives on two golf courses. And he said, he's been my friend since he was a Christian school principal. Who knows, you may own a Bentley someday. He said, brother, will that you need anything? I said, I'm fine. Well, I felt like I should ask you if you need anything I can do to help you. I said, I'm fine. Well, you got to let me know if you need anything. I said, no, here's what I do. If I need anything, I tell God. He wants anybody to help me, he tells them. It works out really well. Trust is developed, but not only as we look at this matter of confidence is trust developed, trust should be demonstrated. Boaz said, I've seen what you've done to your mother-in-law. I've heard how you left your father, your mother, the land of your nativity, come to a people which thou knewest not heretofore. I have seen your confidence in God, and it impresses me to help you and take care of you. Hey, does your family see you trust God? Do they see you stick your neck out and do things you think are impossible, but you know God wants you? Up on a building program. God will speak to some of your hearts and tell you to give a gift that seems absolutely ridiculous. You say, Lord, there's other people who could get that much money, they wouldn't even miss it. It'd be a huge thing for me. And if you don't obey God, not only will you miss his blessing, but you'll miss the opportunity to show to others that God is worthy of our faith, worthy of our confidence, worthy of our trust. Trust should be demonstrated. I wonder how often people hear our complaints instead of seeing our trust. I wonder how often they see us worry instead of seeing us trust. I wonder what our casual treatment of the work of God and our half-hearted commitment to His Great Commission says about our God and our trust in Him. Trust is developed, trust is demonstrated. Not only that, trust is demanded. The Bible says without faith it is difficult to please God. Right? Maybe in the NIV. Without faith it is impossible. If I am not living in faith, if I'm not acting in obedience to God in spite of what I think I can do or cannot do, I cannot please Him. When I preached right after my last treatment, my wife thought I was crazy. My daughters thought I was crazy. The doctors didn't think I should do it. Say, why'd you do it? I didn't know how it would go. I could barely whisper, and I was here last time, I could barely whisper. I have a much better voice now than I did then. But I said to my wife, sweetheart, we prayed for God to heal me and enable me to preach again. The treatments are already a lack of faith not to go out and see what happens. I coughed all the time. I may have a coughing fit now, still have them sometimes, not as bad as they were. If I have one, you'll think I'm going to die. But you will not be that lucky. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So let me give you some comments, some applications of the story. Number one is this. When you leave, you lose. There is trouble in Bethlehem, Judah. There is a famine. There is a lack of bread. So they went to Moab because there was bread there. And they went there, Elimelech died. Naalon died. Chilion died. Hey, there are troubles in good places. Sometimes you be real careful about leaving a good place. You be real careful about leaving godly people. You be real careful about getting out of the will of God. When you leave, you lose. Second comment is this. Trust leads to obedience. Ruth left Moab, went to glean, followed Naomi's directions. It's really an amazing story. The final connection between Ruth and Boaz. And I have to tell you, if somebody had told me to do what Naomi told Ruth to do, I don't think I'd have done it. Really unusual. Really different. But Ruth trusted God, and she was obedient to the instructions He gave her through her mother-in-law. We sing trust and obey. If you trust, you'll obey. If you don't obey, you don't trust. You wouldn't have any trouble tithing if you trusted God. He said He'd take care of it. You wouldn't have any trouble going soul winning if you trusted God. He said He'd go with you. You wouldn't have any trouble taking a stand for God at the workplace if you trusted Him. He said if you honor Him, He'll honor you. He told you that. You wouldn't have any trouble being faithful to church, reading your Bible, having a consistent prayer life, living separated from the world. John Rice used to say, all your problems are prayer problems. I don't disagree with that. But I think you could equally say, all your problems are trust problems. Jesus said, don't call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say. It's really easy to step out and attempt great things for God if you have an absolute confidence He will take care of everything. Trust leads to obedience. Number three, the world has no wings. You'll never find cover. You'll never find care. You'll never find comfort. You'll never find compassion in the world. There are no rescue missions started by the booze companies. No homes for addicts started by drug dealers. Nah, the pornography industry makes billions of dollars. They don't spend any of it providing free marriage counseling. Nah, the world has no wings. The world and the devil who directs and deceives and defiles it. They want to manipulate you for their own evil purposes, use you for their own selfish desires. They destroy you without the faintest bit of remorse. When they've bled you dry, when they've sucked the life out of you, when you have nothing left of value to them, they toss you aside like the worthless piece of trash they've always considered you to be, and leave you broken, wasted, ruined, and alone. But here's the next comment. God loves what the world discards. Yeah, when the world has done its worst, when they've taken all and given nothing, why then Jesus comes by, and He says, I love you, I died for you. My blood is sufficient to pay for all the sins you've ever committed. And I want to give you everlasting life. And He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come on under my wings, He says. It's safe there. It's secure there. There's protection there. And there is peace that passes understanding. Jesus says, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Jesus says, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Jesus promises, I'll give you water that leads to everlasting life. In Ruth chapter 4, we find something really interesting. Ruth marries Boaz. They have a son named Obed. Obed is the father of Jesse. Jesse's the father of David. Here's what it says in Ruth 4:13. The women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that His name may be famous in Israel. Thou shalt be, He shall be to thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. And Naomi, who said, I'll never marry again, I'll never have any sons. Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse to it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. How about that? God is way better to all of us than we could ever deserve. Could I testify for a moment? My burdens are modest. His blessings are many. My problems are few. His provision has been fabulous. My trials are mild. His treatment of me is marvelous. My load has been light. His love is large, limitless, everlasting. I used to sing. Can't sing it well, but I can say it. I'd sing, I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. Amen. I've proved Him so many times, that puts my heart at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He will come through for me. For I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. Amen. May I encourage you to trust under His wings. Stop worrying and trust Him. Stop complaining and start trusting Him. And for goodness sake, stop feeling sorry for yourself. and trust under his wings. I promise you'll find out his load is easy and his burden is light. In 1890, the Stead family went to the beach on holiday. Lily, the little girl, and Louise, her mother, made sandcastles. Mr. Stead was just watching the water. He saw someone out there struggling, looking like they were about to drown, and he thought, I better go rescue them, try to help them. I have been a lifeguard. One of the things they teach you early in life-saving training is that it's very dangerous to try to rescue somebody. They'll grab you in a death grip and you both drown. They tell you how to avoid that, how to get out of it. Mr. Stead didn't know that. He grabbed the young man to try to help him. The young man put him in a locking grip, and they both drowned. No food stamps in 1890. No aid for dependent children. No social safety net. Lisa did her very best to take care of Lily, but one night she said, Lily, we need to pray and ask Jesus to give us some food, or we don't have anything to eat tomorrow. Look down, saw Lily's shoes, down, saw his shoes, down, saw his shoes, down, Watched her running around the yard playing, not afraid of stepping on a rock or a piece of broken glass or a briar. She sat down and she wrote again. I'm so glad I've learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end.
When I said it was gone, I hear myself on the stage of God.
How I proved him o'er and o'er, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, more grace to trust him more. I had my biopsy in September of last year. They were sure the cancer was back, but they just double-checked it. Doctor said, now tell your husband to take it easy. Don't speak above a conversational tone for the next week. Rest, stay home. She said, well, actually, we're getting on an airplane tomorrow and flying to California. Where I preached at a big conference and preached this sermon. The doctor to whom I've witnessed, with whom I've shared the gospel, said, that's one thing I admire about your husband. He has a mission. I do. So do you. It is the Great Commission. By the grace of God, I intend to fulfill my... What do you think about your version? Lord, speak to our hearts. Draw us to yourself. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, nobody looking around. I wonder who's here this morning. You say, brother, well, that I'm saved. I'd go to heaven if I died right now. Because I've trusted Jesus in him alone. But I need to trust under his wings. The Spirit of God has spoken to my heart as I've heard this story of Ruth. Thought about the fact that trust leads to obedience. God's dealt with me. There's some things I should correct in my life. Some things he wants me to add. Some faith he wants me to exercise. Some trust he wants me to demonstrate. God's dealt with me. You pray with me about that. If you say that, would you hold your hand up high right now? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Then I'll ask one more question. I want you to be here this morning. You say, I don't know I'd go to heaven if I died right now. You can. You can know before you walk out of this room. Man came up to me this morning. He said, well, you were in such and such a year. Yes, sir. He said, I got saved in that meeting. The man who was on his way to hell found out he could be on his way to heaven not by joining a church, getting baptized, doing good works, but by trusting Jesus Christ and him alone. I wonder who says, if I died right now, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know that for sure. Would you let me pray for you? I won't embarrass you. Didn't call attention to anybody. Raise their hand a moment ago. Will not call any more attention now to you than I did to them then. But I'd like to pray for you. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to be sure. Pray for me. You say that. Slip your hand up high right now, would you please? Let me pray for you. Just hold it up. I won't embarrass you. I'd like to include you in the prayer. Lord, you know all of our hearts. You've seen all of our hands. I pray for everyone that's lifted a hand up that they'd act obediently and be willing not only to raise a hand but to bend a knee. Thank you in Jesus' name for all that you do. Amen. Would you stand, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just a moment, I'll give a signal to our sister at the piano. When I do, she'll begin to play. That's your signal. If you raised a hand and said, I need to do business with God to find a place at the altar and come talk to him. You're saved, having no been the Lord in baptism, you come. The church will help you with that. Saved and baptized, not a member of this church, but God wants you, you come. They'll help you with that. Not sure of heaven, you come. We'll open the Bible and show you how to be sure. If you're God's child and said, I need to do business with him, don't hesitate. Act immediately and obediently. The music plays. Come right now. God bless you.